executive director, and that will be followed at 11 o'clock by public comment. So we're doing great on time, so don't feel like you have to rush or anything, Carlos. And I'll pass the mic over. Could you pass it?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Sally. Well, my report will be shorter because Sally covered a lot of the things I wanted to talk regarding our relationship with this, the Nebraska Cities Center. One of the things that Sally didn't say, and I think we all know, and I really like to say it, is that we have worked very hard on our relationship, because it wasn't that way, let's be honest. We used to have meetings, but they were not that productive. And I think we both learned that we have so much to offer each other that it didn't make sense to keep wasting our energy that way. And we are moving forward and working together. That's right, Sally?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our staff members are working together as well. So I think we're in the right path, and the report and Sally gave, and the report that we give you every quarter is demonstrating that. So with that, I'm going to jump into statistics. And if you have questions, I'll be glad to go back into more details, but I will try to summarize. For the older individuals who are blind, we serve, and this is from October 1st to the end of March of this year, okay? So OIB, we serve 285 individuals. For independent living, those are under 55 years old, 63 individuals. For VR services, 451 individuals. We enter into order of selection in March, and there are 10 clients in the wait list. Clients got jobs in the different areas: MBE vendor, laundry and dryer, cleaning and dryer worker, school guidance counselor, residential advisor, customer services, business operations specialist, sales representative, physical therapist, elementary school teacher, court reporter, financial specialist, skin care specialist, community health worker, and teacher assistants. In the administration area, the last few months, especially in February and March, I've been meeting with several senators to talk about three main areas. The main one was to ask them to support the increase of our budget, especially the creation of more funds for older blind services. LB 220, which is to strengthen the Nebraska business enterprise, and LB 1123, which is to eliminate some of the requirements to upload contracts. I testify in front of the Appropriations Committee for the budget. I also testify in front of the Health and Human Services Committee. This was for the AMB bill, and that bill is now on the consent calendar. And I also testify in front of the Government and Military Committee. As you already know, the Appropriations Committee did recommend to support our full request, the $540,000 for older blind services, and also to support the increase for the salaries and benefits that they usually didn't support, assuming that the federal government was going to cover an increase. And that's an extra $70,000, right, Pat?
Yes.
Yeah, correct. The consent calendar for LB 220, Mike asked me yesterday what that meant. I apologize if I wasn't clear on that. That means that LB 220 is now on the calendar to be discussed on the floor. There are a lot of bills that don't come to the floor because there's just too many bills and not enough time. And usually they come to the floor if it's a priority bill for one of the senators. So Senator Wishart made LB 220 into a priority bill. And because of some phone calls that we did, including consumers, the Speaker of the House of made LB 220 into a priority bill. For LB 123, nobody made it a priority. It's a very small bill, but once they start discussing bills on the floor, I plan to approach the sponsor and see if we could attach that bill into either 220 or any other bill that has to do with contracts. So far that's the idea in that regard. I attended several meetings. I ran the meeting for the order of selection. I attended the WIOA committee meetings, the state ADA task force, I'm a member of that, the NCSAB fall conference, the American Association of the Blind meeting in March, where I also talked to them about the budget, and the Omaha district came to talk to them about the older blind conference. And I also attended the American Council of the Blind State Convention. At the RSA Spring Conference, RSA reported that during the last 8 years, referrals went down around 27%. And also, those refusing further services and those unable to locate increase for about 26 to 27%. Furthermore, Social Security reimbursement went down $38 million, and some of the reasons, according to them, which again is not they don't have the documentation, but that's what they're talking about, is that it's because counselors are spending more time compliant with all the requirements there. There is more clients with multiple disabilities, and also the SGA level for blind people is much higher now, it's $2,040. So in order for somebody to get off Social Security without any work-related expenses, they need to be making $2,040, and then we don't get reimbursed unless that person is making at least that money. Our rules are now in the governor's office, still pending for his approval. We've been making several ways to make savings. We cut some landlines. We returned some state vehicles, reduce office space, and close some physical offices. We also are reducing by 17 more software for AWARE. Each of them will save us $1,500, so around $25,000 per year. We will see similar savings when we do some of the cuts for software on office for the state. Let me look at more of my notes here.
Carlos?
Yeah.
Those are just licenses that were, when you look at the count of how many you had and how many employees we have, these are just extras that weren't needed anymore?
Correct.
We're not getting into a situation where, like, our staff is fighting for licenses where you can only have 12 people logged into AWARE at a time, so the 13th person gets an error message and has to wait until somebody else logs out?
Okay. No. Well, right. Some of that has to do with the fact that we lay off people, but we have licenses almost for every staff, and people didn't use it. Like in my case, I don't use OWL.
Sure, sure.
And I have a license, so.
Okay.
I usually ask Julie or send emails, and I get the answers I need.
Okay.
Now, if our, when we get the funds from for OIB, we might have to make some changes there, but I will talk more about that later. Okay. CAD is also working on redesigning the business units and the business reports, making the data entry easier, so we can have also easier access to exit some of the areas we want to get. SERP+, we've been doing a lot of that, mainly CAFIS work on that because the administration moved into the first floor in Lincoln and we closed the Carney office. In the human resources area, the National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute gave Kat and Greg scholarships to complete their training, so very much we only pay for the first one and the next three is going to be covered by NRLI. Yeah, Elaine Kavilak retired by the end of March. And we promoted Adrian Moody, who was the rehab tech in Kearney, to take her position. So she's going to be working in Omaha. And she's now in her training. As you know, we also had to lay off the 12 employees. That was very hard for us. Our staff did very good on respecting people's privacy and so forth. But because of the reduction of staff, we had to rethink and redistribute different job duties within the 40 hours. Some of the examples are, for instance, in the MBE, Carol is supervising that area. Supervisors are jumping into helping on the MBE area. Dave Robinson used to work under the business office. Now he works under Carol for MBE, carrying the duties of Don Ward and John Stockabran. Then we hire Michelle Rogers, who is working now at the business office, and they are covering some of the duties that the technology managers used to take regarding ordering equipment for staff. Our technology specialists are also supporting some of our staff members. Supervisors Shane and Diana are taking a caseload. Greg is covering some of the areas at the center because we also reduced staff members there. Cindy Simmers went back to cover the home management, but she's going through cancer treatment. So we are getting the Lincoln District help in that area. Usually, or most of the time, Charlie Sussman covers that. Feel free to ask me questions as I go, okay? The Norfolk, North Platte, and Scottsbluff offices will be closed by the end of June. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then in the Omaha, we're looking at reducing space, but we don't have an answer from a building division yet. Okay. Yeah, field, pardon me?
We have finalized plans, but we don't have a date of when they're going to do that. We have a lot of renovation going in the building.
That's what I thought, but we will reduce space.
Right.
That's the main point. Yeah, we will be saving money there too. Field services, like I mentioned, a lot of that had to do with working with the Nebraska City here, so I'm going to skip that part. But we had our older or OIB conference in Kearney last week. It was a success. I keep hearing from people talking about that. And because we will be hopefully getting more money, we will be seeing more of those conferences every year. The mentoring program met in April. The focus was college. There were 17 mentees. PI is going to be reduced only to 2 days because of the lack of funds for independent living under 55. The Lincoln District approached the Chamber of Commerce so they can train the Chamber of Commerce on blindness. And they like the idea, so they expanded that opportunity to the Omaha Chamber of Commerce. So they are going to have that training in June, and I think both Lincoln and Omaha will be working on providing that training.
Carlos,
you
mentioned the mentoring program had their activity in April. I believe it's about the right time that we would be looking at whether or not we're going to renew the mentoring contract for another year.
Yes.
And is that something that you can speak towards at this point?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, I just signed the contract this last week. And the terms are very much the same, except that, as I mentioned to you, Shane is taking some clients. We are increasing the amount of the contract, so the mentoring program will include a mentoring coordinator. And I'm glad you asked, because for the record, it might look like, okay, we don't have enough money, why are you increasing that contract? Well, because we do have extra money for pre-Ed's, so we need to make sure that we spend that money.
Right.
Okay? So that's what we are, and that will make things easier for Shane to focus on the other transition areas, because mentoring does take a lot of time for everybody.
So that coordinator position then will be somebody that the mentoring program provides. It will not be somebody here in Nebraska, then it will be somebody remotely performing that role.
No, it looks like we'll be in Nebraska, because that person will have to be talking to the folks in Nebraska.
Okay.
And it's better if they know the Nebraska culture and so forth, the consumers.
Okay. But it'll be funded by the program then?
Correct.
But we'll provide them an office or something like that here?
That will be part of the contract. We will facilitate anything they need, but we are increasing the contract for another $42,000 for that coordinator, full-time coordinator.
I guess what I was getting at is Shane today has, because he's a commission employee, I guess some of the, maybe it's just because of his background, his experience, you know, he's very familiar with the clients that we have today. And certainly he works with counselors to approach clients if this is an opportunity that they'd be interested in. Whereas the coordinator that would be hired would not be familiar with our clients specifically. Certainly would not have access to client name lists and things like that, I would guess, not being a commission employee. So he or she would have to work directly with the counselors to identify, potential mentees and so on. Is that correct?
Correct. And also, Shane did work with the counselors before. The counselors were the ones identifying back then potential mentees, mentors, and then he collected those names. So the coordinator should be doing the same thing, coordinating mainly with the district supervisors and work from that end. Yeah.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
And I think it should be a transition, because like you said, Shane knows a lot, so there should be a transition that he will pass that information to.
Okay.
Now, Carlos, that coordinator for the mentoring program, is that a contract position not considered a FTE person for the commission?
Correct, it's a contract under the, see, we are not contacting that person, the NFB is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, God forbid if we ever have another budget shortfall, we wouldn't be laying off one of our own staff.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. That's the whole point that we don't.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I think those are good strategic times when your funding might be a little bit variable.
Yeah, well, and the contract with them is a year basis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we can always manage that as we go.
Thanks.
Thanks for the questions. We were also involved with the Project Search annual job fair, and the friends of the commission did help to facilitate launches there for that event. In Omaha, they worked very hard to promote the Older Blind Conference. They went to talk to different consumer groups. In all the districts, our staff members continue to work with the public schools, with different stakeholders, like the WIOA regional offices.
I don't know if you mentioned this, but you did. There were a number of people who came to the Omaha Association of Blind. I think that was a real effective way.
Yep.
Get the word out.
Exactly. So yeah. I mentioned when I said when I went there, Nancy and her staff came to talk. Not in detail, but that, you know, they came with applications ready to start taking folks.
Yeah.
So So that's what Nancy did with different consumer groups. At the center, there are 8 students and 1 staff member in training. There were several tours for schools, which give opportunities for parents and teachers to also tour the center. As I mentioned, Cindy is going through cancer treatment. The students choose a activity to clean the children museum's toys. And one of the changes is also that on Wednesdays, the students stay at the apartments, they conduct seminars there at the apartments, they do some teaching at the apartments, and also it's easier for them to do some cane travel at downtown. In the MBE area, that's one of the busiest areas these days, because we lay off the 2 full-time, well, not full-time people, but experienced people. Carol has been a champion there under her leadership. Things are working just smoothly. I mentioned at the American Council of the Blind that I like her attitude. One of the comments she made was, there is no room for failure.
Yeah.
And she said with determination, you know.
Yes.
And that's what I expect from her, and that's what I expect from the supervisors, they are the leaders. And because of that is the things are working. Okay, it's not easy, but we need to start from the premise that there is no room for failure, and then we will find the answer. Again, it's not easy. We will continue finding obstacles. Anyhow,
about the NDE program, I was really impressed with the there's in your report here. There's a section of additional notes regarding Carol and what she's doing in the NDE program, working with risk management and.
Yep.
Service repair contracts across the state, mm-hmm. and of streamlining some forms and creating a handbook with
yep.
with Sandy, all kinds of different things. And this is terrific. Kind of things you look at. It's like, things that, you know, why aren't we doing this stuff before? But I'm sure it's the type of things it's a continual process. Where you're
exactly.
always going back and
exactly.
you know, is it you know, can we negotiate a better terms on this contract and things we should always be trying to do, but
we've been trying for this.
Yeah, awesome to see that,
yep.
that those things are being worked on.
Exactly. And again, I have to give a lot of credit to this to Carol, because she keeps pushing it and it's just good to have somebody like that, and Kat also helps on that area. she finds those numbers right away.
So, but I'm glad Mike brought that up, because I really, really enjoyed and appreciated that part of what we were seeing in the report, you know, like who's doing all of these different things. So I was kind of gritting to myself, I wonder if this is like some of Carol's work that this was included. That sounds like her mind, and maybe I'm missing, you know, who, maybe it's a joint effort that was included. That way, it was just really...
Well, MBE is now under the leadership of Carol. So she's,
right.
She comes to me and usually say, yep, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and I read it too, and I thought, boy, you guys are doing a lot of great things. My only thought in my back of my mind is MBE is important, but a small portion of the commission.
Yep,
duties.
Yes.
And I understand the big contract at the Stratcom base. We want to make sure that we're allocating resources to find and keeping jobs, you know, out of the workforce too, and keeping our staff, you know, appropriately supervised and directed. So,
yeah.
Are we asking too much of Carol, or is, you know, I guess my concern is we need to kind of keep everything in proportion too.
Yes, no, I am mindful of that, not just on the MBE, but also the business office,
right.
The supervisor, the center, they're all doing extra stuff, and I keep meeting with them.
Okay.
I want to make sure that they do take care of themselves, too.
Yeah, and that's, I don't want to burn Carol out.
Well, we don't want to burn any of us. No,
yeah.
I met with some of the leaders, and the blood pressure going high, my mind too. So we need to make sure that they do take their breaks,
yeah.
And so forth, yeah. So, but I'm glad you mentioned that, because those are things that I mentioned, but it needs to be revisited and for sure taken care of.
I did have one question though about the MBE program and one of these items that was listed here that Carol's working on. And it was regarding the repair services across the state. Have we always been doing contracting out to for these types of services in the past? I had it in my head that Don was doing some of that stuff in the past, going out and assisting with those repairs and so on. And is this a result of him not being here anymore, or partially a result of him not being here anymore that we're doing this? Not that it's not a good thing to have done anyway.
Well, historically speaking, he was hired to train vendors to handle minor repairs,
okay.
And then he was doing major repairs.
Okay.
But then it moved into, he did some, vendors didn't do anything, and then we will contract for major repairs. And it was just coming out of hand, so
okay.
We are re-engineering. And,
gotcha.
And Carol is following on that.
No, I think that's great, because, you know, anytime a machine's not inoperable, that's lost opportunities, and the
yep,
more that
that's right, yep.
The vendors can take care of issues themselves. And that's what I've heard, you know, you're asking them to do more of the things that they should be able to do.
Exactly.
Great.
Yep.
So.
We are, like you say, spending more time, efforts on them. Well, they should be also spending more time on efforts on their own business. And that's what we're asking them to do. Yeah. We are giving more, but we're asking them to give more too. And it's for their good, so they can make more money.
Right.
Talking about making more money, as you know, we got a contract with Offutt. There will be 26 break rooms. Carol is overseeing the permit for the vending machines. I'm overseeing the cafeteria portion of it, which is very complex. I would be glad to give you details into that, but Nancy is jumping into that now because she's in the Omaha area. She's helping the blind vendor for some of the job interviews for the head chef, assistant manager, and one more person, I think. But they are moving along. The electricians and mechanical engineers are already in place, getting the equipment ready. And we should be ready by the end of June so we can start operating in July. That's the goal. Carol is also working on a permit with the VA, which is the continuation of the arbitration process we started on 2018 for the DA in Omaha. So this one is in extension. This is a new clinic in Lincoln. So the one in Omaha will open next year, I think. And the one in Lincoln, I'm sorry, the one in Omaha is next year, and the one in Lincoln in 2021. And then we hear that the Department of Corrections will put an RFP out, and we intend to put a bid. Again, we don't have the funds to purchase equipment, but we are already developing partnership with Coke and Pepsi, so they can provide the machines. I think that's all the report I have, unless you have more questions.
That's one more question.
Sure.
I think you gave this number earlier, and if not, I want to ask for the number. But did you say that the number of people in the order of selection wait list right now is 10?
Yes.
Okay.
10, yeah. Not that many, but it's because people knew we were going to be in order of selection, and looks like in February we got a lot of applications.
The word was out.
Yeah.
Get on the list, or get on before the list.
Correct.
I look at certain things every time I see the reports, and the one that always catches my eye is the number of visits at the center, the 3-day visits. And I talked to a lot of different potential candidates, and I'm starting to ask him. I said, have you visited the center? And then I encouraged him, if you're not sure, you need to go make a visit, a 3-day visit, because, if they don't go there and visit, they're probably not going to go.
That's right.
Are we working with our supervisors enough to really promote that? Because I'm almost at the point where I'm going to, the people I talk to that I think are good candidates for the center, I'm going to nudge them a little bit harder, because I think if they go see that, they're more likely to go. And we need people in the hopper.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I just would love to see more people visiting the center.
Okay, I'll be talking more to Carol and Greg about that.
Yeah.
One of the things we started to do was that we want to bring more senior plan into the center. We used to do that, but we used to charge all of that towards VR, and we were told that we cannot provide services to senior blind because it's being charged to VR, and OIV was not enough funds, but we can find a way in which we can charge some of that. So we are working on that.
I think it's great. You use that valuable resource to the fullest extent.
Correct.
Is there such a thing? I'm all about allocating resources, but if we train people that go through the center as employees or staff, and they're learning older blind skills, can you prorate some of that cost to the older blind budget?
Yep.
Right. I don't know if you're doing that now, but if we have more money for older blind.
That's something that we will do,
yeah.
I was doing some equation with Kat and Carol, and it looks like if and when we get these funds, so around 19% to 20% of our budget will be older blind. Mm-hmm. So around that percentage should be charged on all categories, overhead, vehicles, and so forth, software. So that's why I don't want to send the message, we have over $500,000 that can be spent right now on all the blind services, because there are a lot of things that we are paying for all the blind that wasn't charged to all the blind. Okay?
I'm just looking on the agenda here. Is there anywhere, Robert, do we have anywhere else that we're going to talk about the budget?
It's not on the agenda.
No, it was a separate.
I guess maybe due to sensitivity of the budget, what's your comfort level at where we're at now as far as cost reductions, layoffs and things, and what we know about future dollars? Are we okay on the budget? Do you have concerns or reservations going forward?
Well, we had a meeting last week with Kat and Carol, and we looked at the numbers again. We are in the right path. we're still under deficit, and we knew that we were going to be still under deficit, but we are covering some of the deficit with the carryover that, that we have. And according to the number we put yesterday, without Social Security reimbursement, without realignment, next year, by the end of next year, we should be spending only the state and federal grants. So it could change some here and there.
Sure.
But, you know, it's there.
Well, I know the number showed up on CAPS last report. Because we're still deficit spending, at the end of next year, will we have carryover dollars? It's always good to have carryover dollars.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Are we still, do you know what our projection is for carryover dollars this year?
Yes. Our deficit for this year, we cut about $515,000 for this year, but then we're spending the money on the Offutt cafeteria.
Sure.
That we're estimating at $450,000. So our deficit this year will be around $1.3 million, which will leave us with about $950,000 in carryover in total.
Which typically, if I remember right, we used to carry about, what, $2.5 million carryover year
to
year?
Right, yes, in some years it was that high.
Is there a concern we'll have cash flow problems, or is that enough of a cushion to...
We had that discussion a while back, and we felt comfortable anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million in carryover.
Okay.
We'd love to have more, but that does give us enough of a cushion.
Well, in businesses, you know,